Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg's new book, Lean In, is number one on both the New York Times and Amazon bestseller lists. Her nonprofit of the same name is thriving. And she has devoted followers. We recently sat down with Sheryl Sandberg in a sold-out crowd at the Coolidge Corner Theater here in Brookline, Massachusetts.
I have not seen this big and excited a crowd since the Vagina Monologues was here.
We wanted to hear her advice for women, but also about her claim that women are at least partly responsible for their lack of leadership roles. For instance, only 21 of the Fortune 500 CEOs are women. And we dove right in.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. It's exciting to be here. So,
Time magazine says that Sheryl is like an escapee from a Star Trek episode in which Spock sired a child with an empath.
Yeah, I never understood that. I honestly don't know what that means.
But also they say you have embarked on the most ambitious mission to reframe discussions of gender since the launch of Ms. Magazine in 1971. So let's get right to the reaction. I mean, were you surprised? There are people who think that in saying that women need to lean in more and claim their place at the table, that you are blaming them. I actually heard on a talk show, I heard someone say that it's the equivalent of blaming a rape victim.
Wow.
That it's women's fault that they haven't achieved more.
You touch on this subject and you are touching on something that is deeply personal, because I'm arguing that the status quo is not good enough. I'm arguing for real equality, and this is personal. I'm worried about stagnation for women. It turns out that men still run the world, and I'm not sure that's going that well. And I think it takes really heated debate to change something that's stuck.
Well, you know what the criticism is, and I'll quote Aviva Wittenberg-Cox, who runs a management company. She says, why are you trying to make women adapt to the system? Why not change the system?
So my answer is it's both. Women are held back by lots of things, by discrimination and sexism and terrible public policy. We lag so many other countries, and I believe we should reform all of that. But I also believe that the conversation can't be only about that. And in a lot of ways, the conversation on women is usually only about that. Take a look at Scandinavia. They have every public policy and institutional reform we could ever argue for. And do you know how many women run their top companies? Less than 3%.
And you're saying they have childcare, they
everything.
Have a lot of nationalized
childcare, maternal and paternity benefits, quotas for women on boards, everything we would never even think about passing here. And they're not at 3%. If women start running institutions, we then get to do that reform.
Part of your job is to hire thousands of people. Mm-hmm. What did you see women doing that tell you that they're not raising their hand, they're not taking their place at the table, they're not taking responsibility for their own futures?
Oh, I see this all the time. And I do want to start with, why do we internalize this sexism, right? So, national retailer printed T-shirts for onesies for babies. The boys, smart like daddy. The girls, pretty like mommy. Not in 1951, but 2 years ago. That same year, another national retailer printed up teenage T-shirts for girls that said, I'm too pretty to do my homework, so my brother has to do it for me. Stereotypes are very deeply held, and they're hard to change. And so those stereotypes that start in childhood continue into the workplace, and they lead to the success and likability penalty women pay. A woman named Rachel Thomas just became the president of LeanIn.org. And she was talking to her daughter, Haley, about why she took the job. Her daughter, Haley's 5. And she said, Haley, what if I told you that as daddy does better at work, more people like him? But as mommy does better at work, fewer people like me. Her daughter said, well, then I would do less well at work.
To be liked.
So more people will like me.
Yeah.
And so, look, we call our little girls bossy. Go to the playground this weekend, you will not hear a little boy called bossy. Boys aren't bossy. They're supposed to lead. They're assertive. We need to stop calling our little girls bossy and start saying, my daughter has executive leadership skills.
It just reminds me of the story you tell in the book. Actually, your siblings tell it on you at your wedding, of how when you were a little girl and they were something like 1 in 5, you made them march around behind you and yell out, right, every time you would say something.
Yes, that is the apocryphal story. And you know, and the other one is they stood up at my wedding and said, hi, we're Sheryl's younger brother and sister. But we're not really her younger brother and sister. We're really her first employees. And these jokes are funny, but they lead exactly to what I see every day in the workplace, and I promise all you will see. We know, and the data is super clear, that when men and women remember their performance, Men remember it slightly high, and women remember it slightly low. And we know that when men are asked why they succeeded as something, they say it's because of their own core skills, and that's fair, and that's true. But women give the credit to working hard, help from others, and luck. And so what we see is women systematically reach for less opportunities than men. I've seen it my whole career.
There are some women who say, I don't want to be obnoxiously full of myself like my male coworkers. I don't mind being communal. I resent that I'm not getting ahead, but I'd rather that the system recognize that I'm more communal, yeah. I'm more empathic, and that I'd be given more credit for that as opposed to being full of myself and arrogant like that guy I have to work with.
I have a pretty typical feminine style in lead in many ways. I've said I cry at work. You know, I hug people. I talk about my children. I ask people about theirs. I am not arguing for men to be women, but I am arguing for us to really reward and support leadership in girls.
So let's say I'm coming to you for a job. What are you hearing from young women?
The single best job approach I ever got was a woman named Lori Goller, and she was in marketing at eBay, and she said, I think I want to apply to work with you at Facebook. And so I thought about calling you and telling you all the things I'm good at and all the things I like to do, but I figure everyone's doing that, so I want to know, what's your biggest problem and can I solve it? I was like, yes, you're hired, and my biggest problem is recruiting and you can solve it. Looking for a job is not about us, it's about the job. My advice to young women who are job seeking is do your research. You know, don't come in and ask me what Facebook's culture is like.
Okay, Robin here. At this point, a baby began wailing, her mom trying to comfort her.
And that's just fine.
That's perfectly fine.
That is perfectly fine. You don't even have to leave. It's okay.
You know, don't come in and ask me what Facebook's culture is like. Say, I've read the last 20 articles on Facebook's culture, and I have a question for you. And understand how you can help the person across the table.
How many women are there in top positions at Facebook? People say not enough, given that you have written this book.
So we're ahead of the industry, and we have women in line roles. We have a woman running our global sales team, a woman running design. I think the issue, and this is really important, is people think there's an industry-specific problem. This is not industry-specific. 75% of the workforce of the nonprofit industry are women. 21% of the top nonprofits are run by women. This is leadership, and it's in every single industry.
That's Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg in a sit-down talk at the Coolidge Corner Theater here in Massachusetts. Some of her other research in her book is quite opening. She says men think that if they have 60% of the qualifications for a job, they're qualified, while women think they have to have 100% of the qualifications. She also cites research that shows that kids do just fine when moms work. She says that's a relief to a lot of moms, but not to others who don't do fine when they work. We'll take that up next, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with 43-year-old Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg. We sat down in front of a sold-out crowd when she visited the Boston area, a homecoming for her. She'd gone to Harvard, was mentored by then-Professor Larry Summers. She's been named one of the most successful women in business so many times. She was an executive at Google before Facebook. She's reportedly worth more than $1 billion in Facebook stock. And while she struggled with nausea through her two pregnancies, she has a supportive husband, two young children, and help. Now, while she agrees that businesses have to adapt to working moms, she tells women that they also have to not plan a career for kids they don't have yet. She says she's seen women not take jobs for fear they won't be able to handle it. So we asked what many women ask, how do they lean in when they don't have the money and support she does?
I'm lucky, and I know that. I didn't come to this naturally or lightly. I gave a TED talk, and I decided to give it on women. And at the time, everyone told me not to do it. They said it's going to typecast me as, get this, a woman. and that you can't be interested in women's issues and have a serious business career. But I was so alarmed at what I was seeing. No progress for women, none, in the last 10 years at the top of corporate America.
Even though more going to grad school, more getting masters.
Yeah. Women have had 14% of the top jobs in corporate America for 10 years, zero progress. And I was living that. And then I started hearing from women all over the country and all over the world. They were from women who were working minimum wage jobs, who had never had a raise, who asked for a raise and got it. I believe the system needs to change, but I believe women are going to change the system.
All terrific. But I'm thinking of Carrie Goldberg. She's one of the contributors to the health forum in the Cognoscenti column at WBUR. And she's one of the women I've seen say that you have a little bit of a blind spot here, that there are women, let's say they think, I am going to lean in, and then something happens. Carrie calls it that thing you can't anticipate, something in your marrow.
That's exactly right.
That says, I cannot leave my child. Yeah. I don't want to leave my child. I want flex time. I want less time. I'm going to get off the treadmill. Yeah. I'm going to lose my space.
So I run Facebook with Mark, and it is incredibly flexible. I've said publicly that I leave at 5:30. I go home and have dinner with my kids at 5:30. Well, that means that not only do I not have meetings at 7 p.m., but neither does anyone else. We know that institutions that are run by more women have better work-life policies for everyone.
It's funny. I signed a contract with Westinghouse, huge company, that said I would not become pregnant or otherwise deformed.
Wow.
Now, and then here we are today. Again, I just watch women struggling with this. And so I want to ask you about Marissa Mayer, who became the CEO of Yahoo while pregnant, and everybody was applauding her. Then she announced she was going to be back to work 2 weeks later. And suddenly, you know, a lot of women who had been supporting her were saying, well, wait a second, you are setting a ridiculously high level there. Most women can't live up to that. And then I just want to finish off, because you mentioned her in your book, and she's a friend, and you supported whatever her choices were. But then she took away flex time at Yahoo.
I think Marissa shows us exactly why we need more women leaders. So here's what happens with men. Men make decisions. Sometimes they give flex time. Sometimes they take it away with their business needs. Sometimes they have children. Sometimes they don't. And we never generalize from that man to all men. He is acting just as himself. There are so few women leaders that everything Marissa does takes on this unbelievable life of its own, as if she's speaking for all women.
But weren't you disappointed when she took away flex time?
You know, first of all, I don't know exactly what happened there. I don't think anyone does. But we do know that when she took a maternity leave of 2 weeks, she didn't change Yahoo's maternity policy one bit. She just said, this is my choice. And what this is about is supporting our choices. Some of us want to work full time. Some of us want long maternity leaves. Some of us want to work in the home. Some of us want 2 weeks.
But the hope is that the women will get to those extraordinarily high pinnacles and they will have flex time for women who want that choice.
And the data is very clear that maybe not every single one, but on average, that is what happens. Companies with more senior women in management have better policies.
What is your best advice for women who do want to lead, but maybe aren't sure it's Facebook?
Some people want to start companies. Some people want to work in the home. Some people want to volunteer. All of that is great. The hard work of the women who came before us, of the contract you signed. This morning I spoke in Philadelphia, and there's a woman in the audience, Anita Summers. She's Larry Summers' mother, who is my long-term mentor. She took a job at the Standard Oil Company in 1947. She was an economist. Completely ceiling-breaking, right? An economist as a woman in 1947. The day she was hired, her boss looked at her and said, I'm so glad to have you because I figure I'm getting the same brains for less money. She thought it was a huge compliment. Fast forward, it's 2013. Women get paid 77 cents to the dollar in this country. It's time to ask for the same money. We deserve it.
You brought him up. I wasn't going to, but Larry Summers, of course, the president of Harvard, who infamously said in a private conversation, but it got out, that he didn't think women were doing well in math and science in part because they didn't want to work the long hours because they were getting pregnant and because maybe there was something more to it than cultural. Maybe there was an innate, it was a huge firestorm that he said this. So a couple of women at Harvard, which also had declining tenure for women, have said to me, tell her, change Larry Summers.
You know, Larry actually has a great track record on women. He's been a big supporter of a lot of women, myself included. He apologized for what he said. The issue is, are we going to let men talk about this too? There's a story in my book that said a man, he said he'd rather talk about his sex life in public than talk about gender. My brother did the following a few weeks ago. He's a surgeon. He's just moving to Houston. He's making an offer to a woman. She's in her late 20s, just got engaged. He said to her, you may want to have children one day. And if you do, that is your business. You never have to speak to me about it. But I also watched my two sisters and my wife really struggle. They were worried they'd lose their jobs. And so I don't want you to go through any of that. So in case you do join my team, my door is open. I am here to help you.
Where is he moving to?
Houston. But what if Lean In succeeds, and we're working company by company to do this, that's going to be best practice. Every person in the country is going to do that, and women are going to start getting the help they need.
Sheryl Sandberg.
So we recommend the book, Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And again, Sheryl Sandberg supports the decision of women to stay home, but she says women who do choose to work, lean in. Your thoughts? Interestingly, we're getting a lot of them at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Join in, Here and Now. Latest news is next.